Fans of renowned chef Jacques Pepin were disappointed when he canceled his book tour in November because of hip surgery, but you can hear him now. His new book is Essential Pepin. It has recipes from a 60-year career in the kitchen, beginning at his mother's restaurant in his native France as a young boy. He then trained at La Plaza Athénée in Paris, becoming personal chef to French President Charles de Gaulle. After he came to America in 1959, Jacques Pepin worked at upscale restaurants like New York's Le Pavillon. But in the 60s, he also spent time at Howard Johnson's, replacing onion flakes in the clam chowder with real onion, learning about the American palate, which he said at the time was open to new ideas. Jacques Pepin is the author of over 20 books. He teaches at Boston University's Metropolitan College and has been a longtime fixture on public television on his own and with the late Julia Child. Here and Now's resident chef, Kathy Gunst, sat down with him at Jacques Torre's chocolate factory in New York last fall. The two Jacques are close friends as well as colleagues at New York's French Culinary Institute.
I call him Lil Jacques, you know. He's a dean. He's the dean of pastry. And then there is André Saltner, you know, used to be at Lutèce, Alain Seyac, used to be at Le Cirque, and me, the three-hold dean. And Jacques is the youngest one. So this is our young Jacques, and I'm the old one.
75-year-old Jacques Pepin speaking with Kathy Gunst, who asked him, after such an extensive career, what surprised him the most?
Surprised me the most is that I'm alive and that I'm here, you know, because certainly... Up to 20 years ago, maybe 25, the cook was certainly at the bottom of the social scale, and it was considered an uninspired, you know, lowly type of job. Now we are genius. So that surprised me, I mean, where we are.
Okay, chefs are now rock stars. Mothers want their sons and daughters to marry chefs. And when you were younger, it was certainly the other way. But is this a good thing for the food world?
Oh, yes, of course. It's a great thing for the food world. I mean, when I came in America, you know, I went to the supermarket and I say, where are the mushrooms? And they say, aisle five. That was canned mushroom. You had to go to a specialty store to get just regular button mushroom. There was only one salad, that was iceberg. You know, there was no leek, no shallot, no oriental vegetable, all of that stuff. The supermarket have never been as beautiful as they are today.
But would you say that sort of the state of the American food scene is a healthy one?
That's an interesting question. There is a dichotomy here, which maybe did not exist before. In the sense, you know, it's interesting that through the eye of many Europeans who really don't know America, they consider that Americans eat like five things. Frankfurter hot dog, pizza, you know, a burger, and canned macaroni or whatever, you know. There is some truth in it, that if you go to those, what I may call the mall crowd, you know, and you see those really very overweight people, that's what they eat. However, as I say, there is a dichotomy. When you go to a place like New York or any, I mean now, you find food that you cannot find in Europe. You eat Turkish one night, another day in New York you're going to eat, you know, Vietnamese or French or Italian or whatever it is. So the spectrum of taste in that sense is going to be much larger than most European.
Let's talk a little bit about your new book, Essential Pepin. It is a large, large, beautiful book. You did all the illustrations for the book. They are so charming. But I've also seen your paintings, and I wondered if you could talk for a minute about the role that art plays in your life and then also with your books.
Art, I think, plays a pretty large role in my life. I've been painting for many, many years. Now I do more illustration of menu stuff. But I don't think art plays much of a role at all in my cooking. I'm always being the devil's advocate and telling a young chef to stop torturing the food and arranging it and all that. I could probably make it look much better if I wanted to, but most of the time I don't. There is a certain thing which is natural to food, like you can see in, Mexican or Chinese food, with fall on the plate, it's right there and it's fine. So yes, there is nothing wrong about having a nice presented plate, but sometimes too much of the aesthetic is done at the expense of the taste. I mean, food is taste for me. And I never equate a great artist with a great chef. I mean, a great chef is still, for me, an artisan, you know, that is a craftsman, you know, and some have more talent than others, certainly someone like Jean-Georges or Thomas Keller, I mean, without any question. They take it to a larger, but not, it still doesn't equate with Picasso or Matisse.
Would you call cooking an art?
Yes, some part of it, you know, but not an art with big quote like art, no.
I wanted to talk with you a minute because you were so influential in early food television. It's a whole new world now. There's a Whole Food Network. I know you've been a judge on the Top Chef show, The Masters. But I wonder what you think of all these TV cooking shows where, to me, it seems all they're doing is racing a clock. It's all about time. It's all about who can cook the fastest. But does it teach us anything? Is it relevant?
Right, and it's still about me, in a sense. Likewise, in the kitchen. You know, I work at the Plaza Athénée in Paris and all of those places. The idea at that point was to conform. Maybe the most famous dish at the Plaza Athénée was a lobster soufflé, where we were 45 chefs in the kitchen. The 45 chefs could have done that lobster soufflé without anyone knowing which had done it. That was the idea. Now exactly the opposite. The opposite is that I want to sign that dish. I want to show people that I am the one who made that dish. You know, you want to singularize yourself now rather than to conform. It's a different world, you know. Likewise with television. I remember looking at a show not long ago of James Beard. You know, and it was funny because at that point you were told, do not look at the camera. The camera is not there. The camera is a voyeur. Now it's exactly the opposite. Contact with the camera. I mean, you have to talk to the camera, you have to explain, you have to show, and so forth. So it's very, very different. Julia would tell me, certainly, you know, we have to be fun, we have to have fun, we have to do it, which is great. But then at the end of the show, she would always say, what did we teach today? What did we do? What did we teach? I mean, there was always that teaching element too. And this is what I do. And I'm sure many people can look at my show and say, that guy is pretty boring, cooking. And I'm sure I am for some people. But I'm not going to change myself because I am not an actor, Dr. Kildare one week and Dr. whatever another week. I am a cook. Even though I'm on television, I do what I do. That's the way I do it, and I have no other way of doing it, you know.
Given all the things you've done in your career, TV, cookbooks, you know, you and Julia and James Beard and Craig Claiborne and really the greats of the foundation of what this food craze is now, I wonder how you want to be remembered.
As a good father, I hope. I mean, family, friends are very important. You know, I teach at Boston University, and always give me a shot in the arm when, you see their face, you know, lightening up, illuminating, when you show something, you wrote something, you cook together, more than certainly very, very sophisticated restaurant kitchen that I may have done at some point in my life, but it's not, I'm more for the everyday kind of food. Simpler life, you know, simpler cooking, and cooking together with the family. I mean, that does change something. If you do a little bit of a change in someone's life, then it's a lot, you know.
So you're really talking about passing on a love of food.
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
Jacques Pepin, it has been my extreme pleasure. I have always been a big fan of yours. I was trained at the Cordon Bleu, and your name was brought up much. I'm thrilled to meet you, and thank you for taking the time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be with you.